This week on Pop of Culture, we take an arts walk.
I think it's just a good way to bring the community together, and I think it's a fun way to kind of experience all the different kinds of art that we do have downtown.
We have a conversation between the coasts.
You learn how to work as a team. You learn how to speak up for yourself. You learn all of these other components that are going to help. So it's not just kids. We're not here to churn out little stars.
And we'll get disorganized for a cause.
Coming up,
Pop of Culture on IPR is made possible in part by Psi Iota Xi. Additional support comes from the Indiana Arts Commission, the Community Foundation of Randolph County, the National Endowment for the Arts, Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations, and sustaining members of IPR. You can support local programming today at indianapublicradio.org.
From IPR, this is Pop of Culture. I'm Michelle Kinsey.
And I'm Jen Blackmer.
Let's jump right in. Thursday, October 3rd, is first Thursday in Muncie and the second of two big arts walks downtown where you'll find YART, a yard sale for art, live entertainment, and so much more. Back in May, we took a microphone into the streets for the Brink of Summer Arts Walk, where we found Lila Sandberg, age 6.
My name is Lila, and I'm here because I love art, and I just saw pottery making.
Lila brought her mom and dad with her. Here's her dad, James Sandberg.
Oh man, so much fun. It's good to be around all the people. The weather's perfect. I actually sometimes get overwhelmed by crowds, but being with like my daughter who's enthralled with all of it makes it kind of like more fun for me.
Oh man, kids love watching people throw on the wheels.
Torin Scott is an artist and owner of Made in Muncie Pottery Shop. As an artist and someone who is at a downtown business, why are events like this important, Torin?
I think it's just a good way to bring the community together, and I think it's a fun way to kind of experience all the different kinds of art that we do have downtown.
As we continued our walk under tents and past tables, we met some of those artists.
My name is Ashanti Branson. I'm the co-creator of Ashanti's Garden, and I sell mostly bath and body products, herbal remedies, and then we also sell produce and plants, especially at the farmer's market.
Hi, I'm Nate Myers, and I'm here at Arts Walk, right? That's what it was. Anyways, and I'm selling watercolor art and also bookmarks.
So, for some artists, YART during Arts Walk is a low-cost way to test a business idea.
Well, it's a big event that a bunch of small businesses, especially artists, that likes to come together and just show off their work and to see if they can make a business out of it as well.
And it draws artists from all over the region.
You came all the way from Fort Wayne to do Arts Walk?
Yes. I've been asking to do this again for a long time.
Tell us about your art, because people obviously can't see it.
Yeah.
So tell us what we're looking at.
So I have some of these are from France. Like this one, a far one over here, is inspired from Chamonix. And then I have two. I sold one of them, actually, from that are inspired after Paris and the Eiffel Tower. I have one of me skiing, one I thought of myself.
And full disclosure, our producer bought a Paris-inspired watercolor that now sits proudly in Pop of Culture's home studio. Arts Walk and YART return to the streets of downtown Muncie this Thursday, October 3rd.
Theater arts education has an impact on students both on and off the stage. Arts participation can improve everything from general academic performance to the soft skills that students need as they start their careers. So we called up Brent Marty and Holly Stoltz. And Brent is the Director of Music and Education at Booth Tarkington Civic Theater in Carmel, Indiana. And Holly is Director of Education Programs, also at Booth Tarkington Civic Theater. Welcome to you both.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
We are so happy that you're here today. And I wanted to talk with you as Central Indiana artists and as longtime residents and also as Director of Education Programs and collaborators for Booth Tarkington Civic Theater. And I know that the two of you have a long history together. Is that correct?
Yes, we
do. Oh, indeed. We met in 1906.
1906.
Yeah, all six.
Yes, at the teacher's college.
The normal school.
Normal school, that was it, yeah.
Yes. Brent loves to tell everyone how much, much, much older I am than he is. We're not that far apart. We were there at the same time. But yes, we met actually
1989.
When he arrived, I was actually out of the country. I was in China. Mm-hmm. So when I came back, you know, Brent had all was there. But we did a summer show together. We did The Leader of the Pack. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of when it all began. Yes. Not kind of. I think it is when it all began.
It is. Ball State used to produce a summer theater program every summer, professional. And a lot of us students at the time would stick around and perform in those. And yeah, Leader of the Pack and Anything Goes were the two shows that summer. And Leader of the Pack was first. And that's where we met. Ensemble.
Oh, that's excellent. So let's, both of you have the word education in your titles, right? So Holly, when you're director of education programs at Booth Tarkington Civic Theater, what does that mean? What exactly do you do?
Okay, so Brent and I collaborate, but I came up with this just recently, and I don't know why I'd never thought of this. In a traditional school system, I would be the principal. And Brent would be the superintendent. So really, I am boots on the ground, okay? So I work with our teachers to make sure that curriculum is being taught the correct way. I set curriculum, help figure out the schedule. I go into the classroom and, you know, it's kind of that, oh, Miss Holly's coming, look out, right? and you never want to be sent to Miss Holly's office when you're in class or rehearsal. So I really am kind of that principal. I am that person who the teachers come to me with questions. I make sure that everything is running smoothly. And Brent and I together create curriculum, but I help implement it. And I'm in the classroom a lot too. Brent and I co-teach a lot of the upper level classes. We have a company, a junior civic company that the two of us teach and direct. But as far as like camps, these past few weeks, I was the administrator of all those, you know, mm-hmm. making sure everything was running smoothly. So, I'm the principal of the school.
So tell us about the school, because the education program at Civic is one of the largest, I know, in the area, definitely, but how does it rate, you know, in the country? It seems like it's very large.
Yeah. So Civic Theater, if people don't know, Booth Tarkington Civic Theater, which used to be known as the Indianapolis Civic Theater, but our actual business title, if you look at tax records, has always been Booth Tarkington Civic Theater. And that is because Booth Tarkington, the author, the native Hoosier author, a founder of what it became. It was originally called the Little Theater Society, and we're talking 1914 here. So it's a long, long history.
But the junior civic the education component started in 1941.
40s, yeah. So the education, the point being that there is a long history of education here too. It sort of goes part and parcel with a community theater model. Mm-hmm. We act as educators regardless of age. And through the last 80 years or so, we've been doing that work, you know, continuously and growing where we can. Moving to Carmel was a little bit of a shock to our system because we had served, being centrally located in central Indianapolis, we were serving all sides of the city. Moving to Carmel puts that at a little bit of a disadvantage for some people who can't get up here. You know, we don't have great public transportation in central Indiana. So that poses a challenge for somebody, say, who wants to come from Greenwood. That's not going to be an option for them. And if anybody's listening to this who doesn't know the geography of central Indiana, look it up.
Yes, but, that's south side of Indianapolis, yeah.
Yes, and so we have been able to grow and thrive, though, however, in the community that we are in because of the level of what the economic situation here is in Hamilton County. So, you know, we have grown, but we have also become sort of victims of we don't really have enough space, even though we have this lovely facility. We could use two or three more classroom spaces.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, make it grow even more.
So what age ranges do you serve and what kinds of classes do you offer?
Mm-hmm. Holly, go ahead.
Well, we start at age 4 and we go all the way through, you know, 104. But my focus, Brent kind of spans all over the place, especially because he's in production. But my focus are those kindergartners through eighth grade. I like to, I get the garden ready, right? I till the soil, I plant the seeds, I fertilize, I take care of it. And then when they grow up and they bloom, then Ann Beck moves in and picks all the flowers. Yeah. So,
and I hire the gardener.
Yeah. Okay.
I hire the gardener.
Brent sits on his lawn chair and drinks lemonade and maybe gets the hose out and waters every once
in a while. I wish.
No. So really that's what we do, but the classes. Okay, so we have something called creative stages. That's for our littlest friends, our kindergarten age, which incorporates, you know, movement and music and imagination and just really finding their voices. And we use children's literature. I buy a children's books constantly because I just love it. And then when they get in first grade, those first, second, and third graders get to do a traditional acting class or a musical theater class. As they get older, you know, as you know, I don't have to really tell you, Jen, or really anyone kind of understands this, you know, with the arts, you know, you can have an eighth grader who is very new and has never done anything and needs an intro level class, where we'll have a third grader who has done 15 shows and has played Annie already and
right,
has taken
yeah.
private voice lessons and has been taking tap since she was 5, you know, so they're ready to be pushed. So, it, you know, we have these intermediate level classes and then our advanced classes. We also do, you know, these are the same kids who can audition for our shows. Mm-hmm. I will say our auditions are open to everyone. We are a community theater, so you don't have to take a class to be in a show. But just honing your skills and as anyone, it doesn't matter. I'm on, you know, whenever I audition, I'm nervous, but when you go somewhere you're familiar with and it feels like a home, you're going to feel a little more comfortable. And we find that, but we get these kids ready. And then, you know, it's nothing for us to get a phone call from Beef and Boards or IRT saying, hey, we are really looking for this specific age range, this gender, this type. Do you have kids? And, you know, I can with one email just send it to 50 or 100 kids. And, you know, we know they're ready. And I'm very proud to say they call us because they know if they've been in classes here that they're prepared in the correct way.
Right.
And so, you know, it's really rewarding.
And just to cap that, there is a focus here on process and technique development, and also the life skills that come along with just being an artist, a good human.
Absolutely.
You learn how to collaborate. Yeah. You learn how to work as a team. You learn how to speak up for yourself. You learn all of these other components that are going to help. So it's not just kids. We're not here to churn out little stars at all. Mm-hmm. Although we have had some go on to greatness, you know, we have a couple of kids on Broadway right now. Mm-hmm. But it is more about just developing those young artist skills and storytelling. This is storytelling at the root of all theater is storytelling. So in those kindergarten age classes, they're learning the components of a story, which also then, you know, lends to further them being able to excel in other learning environments.
Right, right. And I see the skills that you all are teaching these kids being useful in so many ways, not only just, you know, in making theater, but also just in, as you said, being good humans. Have you noticed kids changing at all over the last few years in terms of you know, being on their phones and on their devices? You know, how do you work with these new, you know, we'll say digital native kids? How has that evolved?
It is certainly challenging. And then there was something called the pandemic that happened that threw kids, threw students into, you know, a world of uncertainty, which, you know, I know that you as an educator also have learned this, but that's brought a whole nother level of you know, oh, how do we handle this social situation that they're now in?
Right. And for me, I think it also makes the work that much more urgent, right?
Yeah.
Because of all of the things that our kids today have lost over,
certainly,
you know, the last several years.
So I think Holly would agree that we do our best to kind of get them away from the digital technology. And certainly it is useful in the classroom. You know, if I want to pull up a song or a video from, you know, Hello Dolly in 1972, you know, I can do that and show it and use it as a teaching tool. Or if they're learning a song and they can then pull out their phones and record their part and go home and work on that on their own. There are all kinds of wonderful ways to use that technology.
Yeah, there's something to be said, though, for holding sheet music, not an iPad, actual sheet music in a binder. And Brent's at the piano, you know, it's important. They're not holding an iPad and hearing a track. When they come here, they have sheet music, old fashioned paper. And I know environmentally, it's not always the best, but you know, it's just, they have their pencil and they're marking it. And then Brent's at the piano and they're singing to live accompaniment. You know, it's so important. And, you know, finding their voices and just collaborating and looking at each other, you know,
right,
I mean,
yeah,
just being in the room together and learning those listening skills. One of the, you know, we were talking about, there's the obvious things, public speaking, you know, and feeling confident and teamwork and collaboration. But one of my favorite things a parent said to me, and both of her girls grew up in our programs. I mean, literally from five until they were, you know, came back from college and still did things. One is an attorney right now, and the other is going to get her doctorate. She's a big research scientist.
I love that.
But she said they learned how to deal with hearing no.
Yep.
And not no like us going, no, stop it. Not that. But auditioning and not getting a role. And as an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, working through that, right? It's hard for a lot of people. It is difficult. And I'm always amazed when I can't believe I didn't get the part. You know, there's one part and there's 40 people. 40, you know, young girls trying to, you know, get this part, one person's going to get it. So not only do you learn that, you know what, I did my best. It wasn't for me. It's not because I'm not talented and I'm not valued and I'm not important. It just wasn't for me. You work through it. And then you also learn to be encouraging and excited for your friend who did get it. So there's just that, when she mentioned that to me, I had never really thought about that. And I think it's a really important lesson.
Yeah, and that's important in so many ways. I mean, we talk about teaching our kids resilience and teaching them how to come back from challenges and face challenges and deal with failure in a good way. And really, I mean, the arts are where that happens. And it's where, you know, we do, I think, the best work imaginable in that kind of a situation for these kids.
Yeah. And even in the classroom, I'm always saying this, the only way you're going to learn and grow is if you just keep failing. You've got to put yourself out there, you know, try to sing that note. Voice might crack. What's the worst thing that's going
right
to happen? Your voice is going to crack and then you're going to learn to work through it, or you're going to mess up that line. I bet you won't do it again, you know, but if you stay safe, it's never going to happen. You've got to be vulnerable.
That's
and
right.
Just like, no, you have to unzip completely.
Or
if you are
dealing in a world where you can take flaws and erase them on your phone, you know, or
you
know, in an electronic way, digital fashion, that's not real life. Not right now, anyway. maybe 100 years from now, it'll be different. But, you know, we are old school when it comes to that. And I think that we feel strongly that it roots kids in a way that maybe other ways don't.
Right.
Absolutely. And I also see, and if you could speak to this for a little bit, I think the work that you both are doing at Booth Tarkington Civic Theater is also filling a need in terms of arts programs at schools, which are, of course, the first thing to get cut when budgets are being, you know, dealt with. Music programs, arts programs.
Yeah. This is an area where I wish we were making more of an impact in communities that are – that are seeing that happen. You know, here in good old Carmel, Indiana, USA, you know, top place to live in the country, blah, blah, blah. We don't, the schools here have thriving arts programs. And in fact, we compete with them in some yeah. way. Mm-hmm. Even the music, the middle schools are putting on full scale musicals. So it is, we don't, I wish we saw more of that. And I know there is more of a need for that. But when it comes to, you know, helping with arts programs that aren't happening in schools, we don't see too much of
However,
that.
However, I'm going to say though, the niche we do fill is this.
Yeah.
Because like the schools are so big, a student who would be the star and the lead at a smaller school can't even get into the show choir or the ensemble because there are thousands of kids. And the kids who are doing it have had private voice lessons. They've been to New York. They've done all this. You know, it is so affluent and they have so much. So the niche that we fill is that we get these kids who want to do this and hone their skills, but there were 400 people who wanted, you know, to get into the musical and they cast 40, right?
So they cast 140. Realistic.
Well, so those kids come to Civic and they say, when I'm at my school, I didn't have a chance to get in. I auditioned, but I didn't get in. So then they come here and they take class and they're still able to. So that niche is being filled. It's it's not in the way that we think because things are getting cut. But the leftovers are just as vital and important and deserve to be seen and heard can come to Civic. And although they're not in their school musical, they are honing their skills while they're here. And then they find their home here. And they go through our programs and, you know, those important ones who just find their voice and light up when they're on the stage and realize that, you know, all the work they did paid off. And, you know, that's my favorite moment. Or getting a note from a kid and saying, this is the very first place that I got to be myself and no one made fun of me. You know, that's all I need.
Yeah.
That's really all I need. You know, it's those are the kids that are so important because it changes their lives.
Isn't that a wonderful way to voice the topic of your podcast, Jen?
Yeah.
Like, really, it is. We are here doing what we do and having affected now thousands of children.
And making, if you said this too, that even if they don't go on to do the arts or be performers, they have the arts in their lives. And I think that's also a crucial point to make about arts education, starting at age 4, as your program does, which is great.
Eventually they become patrons.
That's right.
And they're supporting through the money that they're making in that corporate job, you know?
So hopefully.
We love that.
Brent and Holly, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having us, Jen.
What a pleasure.
Holly Stoltz is the Education Programs Director at the Booth Tarkington Civic Theater in Carmel. Brent Marty is their Director of Music Education.
You're listening to Pop of Culture. I'm Michelle Kinsey.
And I'm Jen Blackmer. It's time to ask another artist, Weiwo. What are you working on?
Joining us is Jean Ziegler, and she is mad. Okay, not actually mad about something, but she has an organization that she's here to tell us all about that is actually called MAD. So, Jean, welcome. Thanks for joining us, and tell us, what exactly is MAD?
Thank you for having me. MAD stands for the Muncie Artist Disorganization. This particular event is our first social, our inaugural social.
Yeah.
It is an event to bring artists, creatives, makers, artisans together in a social situation so we can get to meet each other, know each other, do it face-to-face, not online, not kind of by happen chance, but just to just get us in a room, or as many of us as care to show up. And that will be Saturday, September 28th at 6 p.m. I call it the early bird special. And it's going to be at the Common Market,
okay,
in the Music Club at the Common Market, which serves pizza, beer, pop, wine, and you have to purchase that yourself, or you can come and not buy a darn thing.
Yeah.
It is all ages, if you want to bring your teenagers or arts-oriented kids. And I want to take this opportunity to thank Mike Martin, because he is just opening it up for us.
Yeah. Yeah, he does that a lot. That's
he does
nice.
That a yeah. lot. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's kind of the whole vibe of the Common Market.
Yeah.
Everybody is welcome. And so it seems like a great gathering place for this disorganization.
Yes, yeah. And it does have a parking lot. So
that's, yeah, that's always good, right?
That's always a good thing. So let me see. I'll tell you what. MAD, and this sort of describes MAD a bit. It has no mission statement, no board, no bylaws, no memberships, no dues, no agendas. Our socials will hopefully provide a blank canvas for our area's creative spirits to fill with friendship, support, community, inspiration, and joy just by meeting each other.
Yeah.
It's a simple concept. Very simple. One moving part. So,
because I think there are, you know, a lot of artists, there is support in Muncie among artists. You know, people will show up at, you know, at a First Thursday exhibit or at a gallery opening, or maybe they're selling something or they have a booth at a festival, but it's not an opportunity to sit down
and meet
and,
other
and
people.
Chat. Yeah. Exactly, exactly. And just kind of in a relaxed atmosphere, you know, gather with people who have a common interest, a shared love of all things art, right?
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't mind, I'll give a little history, like why I thought of it. So I was at, you don't mind, right?
No, not at all.
I was at the Art Space meeting for artists at the Civic back in March. And the Art Space is basically sort of a arts planning, city
yeah, they're
planning.
A consulting group. It
basically,
helps,
it's
yeah.
a lot of real estate stuff. So the room was packed, standing room only in the back with artists. And when after the ladies talked, when the floor was open to questions and comments, a lot of the questions and comments had nothing to do with Art Space or city planning or arts or, you know, arts in the community. There were questions and comments that, to me, seemed better aimed at peers. You know, I don't know how to get this mortgage. Does anybody else know? You know, I'm trying to think of some of the other examples.
Yeah, I'm looking for gallery space.
Gallery
space. I want to put my artwork somewhere. How do I do it?
Yeah, we already have a lot of art organizations in Muncie. I have to, you know, get that in there. And they have specific purposes and mission statements, and they are necessary to the flourishing of a creative community.
Absolutely.
But there's nothing just for artists to meet one
together,
another.
Together, right.
Yes.
Yes.
So to me, thinking how communities are formed around individuals or by individuals who have something in common, I thought, okay, if we can get all these people who have that creativity in common in one place, just for fun, just shooting the breeze.
Yes.
My personal vision would be that it is very supportive and inclusive of anybody who has a creative spirit.
Oh, I like that. Creative spirit, I like that.
Yeah, and that I'm talking writers.
Term. Absolutely.
I've spoken to comic book writers, illustrators, tattoo artists.
Yes.
I know university professors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm picturing it now, and it sounds wonderful, Jean.
Yeah.
So once again, remind us when this is happening.
This is September 28th. It's a Saturday at 6 p.m. Common Market, 900 West 8th Street, Muncie.
And is this something that you envision will be happening on a monthly basis or?
Not a monthly. It's too irregular for that. But I would like to see it buy or try.
Okay.
That would be nice. It's, again, you know, no memberships, no dues, really no meetings.
Yeah. Unless you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's casual, right?
If it seems like, you know, people are interested.
Yeah.
You know, I personally am willing to keep on sort of staging this and getting the word out until, you know, nobody but myself, my husband, and Mike Martin show up.
Well, and you know, Jean, that reminds me that we should point out that you and your husband are longtime and huge supporters and cheerleaders for the arts in Muncie and the surrounding area.
Yeah, we're following in my in-law's footsteps. And
Rick, who she's referring to, is behind the Muncie Three Trails music series just wrapped up.
Other,
you know, art installations all over the community, mm-hmm. which I know that you've been a big part of.
Yeah, I've actually done concept designs for the concept only. For the Muncie Memory Spiral.
Yes.
And so I did the initial drawing, and then I designed the lights on Cannon Commons, the new lights. I have a piece that I designed that was manufactured by the students at Ivy Tech in the Wellness Park, and it's a sonic sculpture.
Ah.
And its title is What is the Color of the Wind?, which is a Zen koan. It's one of the easier ones.
Okay.
and then I have a glass piece that I did the concept drawing for, but it was executed by GRT in Indianapolis, and it's down by the Muncie Canal District.
Okay.
And some of this is I end up working with GRT or Flatland or whoever, because I need engineers and manufacturers in my life. I must say, a versatile metal also. And I get very psyched and energized by talking to other makers, you know, especially if they have really expensive equipment. But I part of MAD is sort of that I'm hoping other people feel that way. And if we all get together, it raises our energy level, and who the heck knows what a bunch of creatives could do with that energy level.
Absolutely.
I would imagine it would be positive.
I could not agree more. Well, Jean, thank you so much for coming by the IPR studios to tell us more about MAD. And we look forward to seeing everybody at the Common Market.
Okay. Well, please come, and thank you for giving me a listen.
Okay, Jen, it's time to find out about all the great arts and culture things you can get into this weekend and beyond.
You know what you can get into this weekend?
What?
Lederhosen.
Love it.
Grab your Lederhosen and Steins. It's time for the Munich to Muncie Oktoberfest at the Yard in Muncie. The event will be 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, September 28th. Enjoy sample pours from more than 20 breweries, distilleries, and wineries from all over the state. Listen to live music. Get in on the stein holding and keg tossing contests and more. Proceeds will benefit Eco Rehab of Muncie's efforts to rehab vacant homes and training youth for careers in the construction industry. EcoRehab.org has more info.
The 48th annual James Dean Festival is this weekend, September 27th through the 29th in Fairmount. Presented by the James Dean Museum, highlights include the James Dean Lookalike Contest, Little James Dean Lookalike Contest, that sounds adorable, a 1950s dance contest, free entertainment, a grand parade, carnival rides, the James Dean Run Car Show, and so much more. All events will be in downtown Fairmount and in Play Acres Park. The James Dean Museum.com is the place to go, you rebels, for more info.
You know who should enter that?
Who?
Luke, our producer.
Absolutely.
If you've not seen Luke, he looks exactly like James
Yes,
Dean.
He does.
The Ball State Wind Ensemble and Wind Symphony will perform Friday, September 27th at... I love that. You do. You kind of look like James Dean.
Yeah.
You
go.
What world?
The Ball State Wind Ensemble and Wind Symphony will perform Friday, September 27th at Sursa Performance Hall at Ball State. The music will begin at 7:30.
The Jay County Historical Society Heritage Festival is Saturday and Sunday, September 28th and 29th in Portland. The free fest includes live entertainment, horse and wagon rides, historical displays and reenactments, and more.
The 2024 Walk to End Alzheimer's is Saturday, September 28th at Cannon Commons in downtown Muncie. In addition to the walk, there will be several activities for the whole family to enjoy. The event begins at 9:30 a.m.
This is the final weekend to kick up your heels at Kinky Boots, on stage through Sunday, September 29th at Ball State's University Theater. Go to bsu.edu for tickets.
And right next door, Ball State's Department of Theater and Dance is presenting the play Dying City by Christopher Shin this weekend in the Cave Theater. In the play, a young therapist, Kelly, whose husband Craig was killed while on military duty in Iraq, is confronted a year later by his identical twin Peter, who suspects that Craig's death was not accidental. BSU.edu for ticket information.
That one sounds very interesting. I didn't know much about it. I had to look it up, but it sounds very interesting.
Very provocative.
Yes.
Do you have an event that Pop of Culture listeners would love to know about? Well, let us know at indianapublicradio.org/popofculture.
Pop of Culture on IPR is made possible in part by Psi Iota Xi. Additional support comes from the Indiana Arts Commission, the Community Foundation of Randolph County, the National Endowment for the Arts, Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations, and sustaining members of IPR. You can support local programming today at indianapublicradio.org.
And that's our show. This week was produced by Luke Jones, whose preferred exercise is an arts walk, and was hosted by me, Jen Blackmer.
And me, Michelle Kinsey. Pop of Culture is a production of IPR on the campus of Ball State University.